Father, thank you for your goodness and your grace and your mercy. Thank you that you adopted us into your family. That's amazing. You give us the full rights of sons and daughters. We've inherited all the spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. And Lord, we have a place to go someday that's going to be glorious. We give you thanks for that. We don't deserve it. We're just recipients. We say thank you, Lord, and help us to have joy knowing that the future is covered because you are there and you've got it taken care of. Lord, you're good and you're great, and we give you thanks in all things. In your name I pray, amen. Well, I don't know if you've heard, but there's been a lot of airline flights that have been canceled lately. I know it from the news. I also know from talking to folks. It seems like COVID is going all over the place, and among other things, my in-laws' flight was canceled. They were going to leave, let's say at noon on Wednesday. Instead, they get a change and they say, you'll be leaving at 5 a.m. on Thursday. And they're like, that means we leave for the airport, what, at 2:45 or something crazy like that? But their first impulse, my first impulse when those kind of things happen is to complain. But you know, having been recovering from COVID and the more mellow strain at that, I am really glad that they don't allow sick pilots and crew to fly. You know, I would not want one feeling like I did at the helm of a 200,000-pound flying metal object. What would it be like? Now, why am I here again? Oh yeah, I'm supposed to land this baby. I wonder where. Forget the checklist. I'm just gonna lay down for a little while. Just keep it level. I got to go see a man about a horse, you know? Cough, cough, cough. What's that about my intruding in your airspace? When I fly, whether the pilot's a guy or a gal, I want them to be at the top of their game, mentally, emotionally, physically, technically. Because why? Flying is a matter of life and death for a whole lot of people. It is possible to be a board pilot, I'm sure. You just kind of go through the motions half-heartedly. You know, you keep at the task daily, no enthusiasm, ho-hum. You know, you get up, you fly him to wherever. You know, I'm just a bus driver, and then you get where you're going, call it a day. But you know, that's not the kind of pilot I want. If I'm going to get on a plane, let alone have my family get on one, I want the pilot to be well-trained, well-rested, up on the latest technology, practicing their emergency situations all the time, and frankly, able to do the job with excellence and excited to be in the driver's seat. Do you like being a pilot? No. That's not what I want to hear. Yes. You know, anything less and it's a no-fly zone. There's just too much at stake. Why? Because they have a huge influence on how I'm going to get from here to there, and you as well. You know, they've got to have the right aptitude and the right attitude. You know, and so do spiritual leaders. You know, you want your pilot to be firing on all cylinders, and you want your pastor to, hopefully, too. There's just too much at stake. You know, being the spiritual leader of a church is too important of a job just to be an autopilot, just kind of going through the motions and, I hope y'all get where you need to be spiritually. You know, to effectively lead a healthy congregation, the spiritual leader must be in a healthy spot too, emotionally, physically, relationally, and other ways. And that brings us to our topic today. I expected to cover this a couple weeks ago, and then we had to close, and then last week I was in bed. Though your singing sounded good, I can hear you through the wall. There was something funny going on in Sunday school too, because I kept hearing about it. But anyway, the laughs. But brings us to our topic today. In 6.5 weeks, our family, and actually the whole church is going to go through, to a different degree, our spiritual renewal leave. It's hard to believe our sabbatical's almost here. Today I'll talk about what a sabbatical is, why take one, where the idea comes from, what in the world we'll be doing, and how it'll be good for you as well as us, and how you can get involved. It'll be an exciting journey for us. Well, first of all, let me say we'll be leaving March 3rd and returning June the 3rd, 3 whole months. But to begin with, you might have a question, what is a sabbatical? Well, it's interesting. The word has its roots in the biblical concept of the Sabbath, meaning to rest or to cease. There's lots of definitions, but one is a carefully planned, purposeful period of time in which a pastor is granted leave away from his normal responsibilities in order to spend an extended period of time in rest, renewal, and refreshment. Another definition is a ministry sabbatical is a release from the routine, day-to-day, regular ministry routines and demands of the call for physical, emotional, spiritual, and intellectual well-being. Or, very simply put, you could call a sabbatical a spiritual renewal leave. It's not a vacation, though we will be taking a couple weeks of vacation. It's not an academic thing. A lot of times professors go on one and they're expected that they better produce a paper or a book or a magazine article. I hope to do a lot of study, but I'm not necessarily going to say, here's my dissertation. It's not simply goofing off or doing nothing the whole time, though there will be some of that, but it's planned. It has a purpose. And frankly, there are some expectations, but just they're going to be very different than the week-to-week ministry that we do. Really, you know, you think about the pilot. You want them well rested. You want them able to do the job and enthusiastic. You need that in your spiritual leadership as well. And it's really designed to help reinvigorate and renew the mind and heart. In a sense, to bring back the joy of salvation so we can keep serving. Trail Creek has been around, oh goodness, at least since the 20s. I think we're the first family to be granted a sabbatical. And we are very grateful to the church and to Village Missions. You know, it communicates great love and support. And we believe it'll be a blessing for us as well as the church. And we believe it'll lead to many more fruitful years of service. You know, there's no command in the scripture, thou shalt give your pastor a sabbatical. But there are some biblical principles behind the idea. Let's take a look at some of them. Remember, it comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat, which means cease or to rest, and it's related to the word for Sabbath. It's interesting that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and after every day he said, that was good. But then Genesis 2:2-3 tells us what happened next. But the seventh day, God had finished the work he'd been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it he rested from all the work of creating he had done. It's interesting, the Hebrew word is more than just rest. It really means he stopped, he ceased, he completed the job, he made it just right. You know, because God never tires. He doesn't need a nap on Sunday afternoons like other people I know. He doesn't need to slumber or sleep. He did not say, oh, I'm so wore out, I need a vacation from all this. No, he didn't take a short breather so then he could get on with redeeming creation. Yes, he did sustain the planet and keeps it going, and he always does, but he ceased from his work. And that's what he's meaning to communicate. It's interesting because later in the Ten Commandments, God in effect said, what I did after creation, you are to do every week. Stop. Let me read from Exodus. It says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gate. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that's in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. That was the pattern he gave for the people in the Old Testament. Work 6 days and then rest. Devote the day to God. The seventh day would be sacred. You'll do things differently. There's also something in the Bible called the sabbatical year. It's interesting that after 6 years of planting and harvest, then you are to give the land a rest. You're to allow the land to lay fallow. If you're a garden, you know, and I know some of you, you rotate animals and crops, and that allows the land to rejuvenate and become even more fruitful. But think about this. If you let your land lie fallow for a year, what are you going to eat on the seventh, the eighth year? Well, God's going to address that point. Another thing is that after 6 years of servitude, God instructed that the slaves and servants be allowed to rest and were redeemed. And after 6 years, laws and debt should be forgiven. But you know, this took a lot of faith for Israel. They're an agricultural community after all. There's no factory farms. And if they stop and take a break, how are they going to make it? What's going to happen? Well, they were going to have to trust God in that seventh year a whole lot. Leviticus 25 tells us, when the Lord said to Moses on Mount Sinai, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land that I am to give you, the land itself must observe a Sabbath. For 6 years, sow your fields. 6 years, prune your vineyards. But on the seventh year, your land is to have a Sabbath of rest, the Sabbath of the Lord. Don't sow or prune. Don't reap whatever grows. Let the land have a year of rest. It's interesting, Leviticus 25 goes on to talk about the year of Jubilee. After a period of seven Sabbaths, 49 years, then you're to again celebrate that and forgive debts and so on and so forth. But Leviticus 25, 20 to 22 answers the question, how are we going to make it, Lord? Well, it says, you may ask, what will we eat in the seventh year if we do not plant or harvest our crops? And this is what God says, I will send you such a blessing in the sixth year, the land will yield enough for 3 years. While you plant during the eighth year, you'll eat from the old crop and continue to eat from it until the harvest of the ninth year comes in. God is saying, trust me, I will take care of it. It's going to work out. It's similar in a sense when the people of Israel were in the desert and they were told, collect manna for 6 days. Don't go out looking for manna on the seventh day because you won't find it. And I will provide. You will have plenty. It will work out just fine. And the people that obeyed, they were fine. And if they went out looking on the seventh day, boy, they came up empty. God is saying, you can trust me when you do it my way. Now, there's a lot to be said. We could go back and forth on Sabbath for today. Personally, I don't believe it is absolutely binding upon us, but there are some principles that the body needs rest. You work 7 days a week forever, and it doesn't go well for you or anyone around you. There's certainly a lot to be said for listening to God and those rhythms and dedicating a day towards Him and family and rest and worship. Well, you know, how did this idea for the sabbatical come about for us and why now? Well, it's been about 2 years ago that we talked to Mark and Bonnie Kennedy, our district representatives, and we said, do you guys ever give like a break? And they went, oh, what's going on? So no, we're just tired. We're just thinking through this. Is there a sabbatical policy? And they kind of scratched their chins and said, yeah, more and more of our pastors are doing that. And we know of several folks in Village Missions who have done that in the past year. One family bought an RV and drove all over the country for 3 months. Another older couple, they went and saw family in about half a dozen states and did all kinds of other amazing things. And they came back refreshed and ready to serve as well. But we talked about this even before COVID. You know, God had done a great work here at the church, but the revitalization took a lot out of us. And then a little over a year ago, we began to talk to the church board. I floated the idea by them with a little fear and trembling. And how are they going to respond? And Kim, what if they say, no, get lost? And I was like, well, we want to get lost, but what if they don't mean it that way? And, you know, they looked at us and they said, that's a good idea. And we went, phew, okay. And then we presented the idea a year ago at the annual meeting, which they changed the Super Bowl for the first time in 27 years. So it's now the second Sunday. So we're having the annual meeting the first Sunday. You know, I know you got to work with the system. But we presented it a year ago into the congregation, and we didn't have a whole lot of answers at the time. But thankfully, you all, nobody had a conniption, and everyone went, okay, that sounds good. Well, it's hard to believe we've served with Village Missions 10 years already, and we've been here at Terrell Creek almost 8.5. We had a 4-year revitalization effort, and then 2 years of COVID. You know, I've walked through that with you as well, and our board has been great, but I got to tell you, it's tiring. We're open, we're closed, we're in the parking lot, we're open, we're closed. We got a mask, we have no mask. I've heard every opinion under the sun about every politician on the planet. You know, that kind of a thing. Why now as well is the kids are... Kyle's in high school. Callie is going to be joining him next year, and the timing is very good. High school is getting a little harder to schedule school-wise, and we really believe it's important to spend. I could just go off to some cabin in the woods for 3 months by myself, but frankly, I need the time with my family, and they need the time with me. And far too often, they've gotten the short end of the stick, and that's my fault. But we see that this is important as a whole family thing. And I think all of us are really feeling the need to have a release for a period of time so that we can come back fresh. You know, thankfully the church is in a good place. We have a great board. We have a good group of folks. The Lord's provided financially. God's doing exciting things, but you know, there's been a lot of hard things too. I counted it up. I think I've had 29 funerals here at the church. And there's some more to come. And, you know, I've walked through the valley of the shadow of death with a lot of you and your loved ones. We've had people come and go for good and hard reasons. We've walked through you with your suffering and your loss, as well as some of your joys. And boy, I tell you, it's a great honor, but it's also a heavy responsibility. And so, in a sense, this is the ounce of prevention to be the pound of cure. Well, what's the purpose of sabbatical? Well, you know I like alliteration, and there's a lot of them. I'll say that it's rest, reflection, refreshing, a reconnection with God and family, retooling and refocusing, and I'll unpack these in a little bit. And why should a pastor get a chance to get away and not other professions? Well, actually, a lot of teachers do, and a lot of big companies these days are increasingly granted sabbaticals. But you know, the pastoral role is kind of a unique duck. It has highs and lows. You know, I'm not saying others don't have a stressful job. You know, military folks, first responders, caregivers. Wow, those are hard. It's interesting, though, the pastor does not really have a church life separation much. You know, you work where you live where you work. And there's a lot of significant issues to be dealing with. Heavy questions theologically about life and how and everything else. There's also the awareness that as a spiritual leader, Hebrews talks about how I have to give an account for those under my care. And that kind of makes one shake in their boots sometimes. And it's hard to turn that weight of responsibility off. One thing unique about our role is we are on call 24/7, 365 or 6. There's also the time to need uninterrupted study. When people show up, I go and see them in the parking lot or in my office, and I value that. But you know, to be spiritually vital, you sometimes need some uninterrupted time. One other thing is pastors that have sabbaticals have longer tenure at churches. There was a time where pastors, even at Trail Creek, you know, the first 30 years of ministry, they had like 15 different pastors. That's just over and over and over and over. And that's really hard. I know one of my mentors, one of my pastors when I was a kid, he'd said, you know, had I had a sabbatical, I think I would have finished out another 12 years at the church I was at. And I got to tell you, though, that one thing with the sabbatical, a pastor says, the church appreciates what we're doing. We've poured out our lives for them, and we're glad that they're practically loving on us. And I got to tell you, we'll go away, but I know we'll want to come back because you guys loved us enough to give us a chance to get away. That is a huge thing. In addition, there's spiritual warfare we face. I'm very aware the devil would love to take, if he takes a spiritual leader down, it has a ripple bad effect around others. And so we need to take that time with him. You know, I have to admit my being tired is partly, I haven't always done a good job on my day off. I know there's those basics. What do they say? Diet, sleep, exercise. We all know them. Not as many of us do that as we should. Sometimes I've mistaken my own stamina for that of the Holy Spirit. Well, that sure shows up quickly that who's trying to run the show there. But we're looking forward to stepping away. And I'm glad that you recognize that you want us to be at the top of our game. That is very important. Well, what's it going to look like? What will it look like? Well, in a sense, there's four stages. The first one is, stage one, I'll call rest and reflection. That'll be a week and a half, and I'll explain what we'll be doing and where. Stage two, I'd say refreshing, fun, vacation, and the reconnecting with family for a couple weeks in particular. Stage three, we're really reconnecting with God, retooling, refocusing. That will be a two-month period. And then it's not just going to be we arrive back on the third But there's going to be an adjustment period, a re-entry to ministry. I realize that we will have changed, you will have changed, and that's going to take a little bit of getting used to again. Now, my original idea after going to Israel 4.5 years ago was I wanted to hike the Israel National Trail. I love to backpack. And I was like, I was so excited. Okay, fam, let's hike from the Red Sea to Mount Hermon. It's only 700 miles. Won't that be fun? You know, we're going to have a blast. We're going to walk where Moses and Joshua and Jesus and the apostles. This is going to be great. And I thought, the good thing is I'll be so tired, I'll sleep well every night. We're going to see incredible things. We'll like ride camels. We'll sleep in Bedouin tents. We'll meet all kinds of wild and crazy folks. It's going to be great. Well, part of the family wasn't so sure about that idea, for one. Also, it turns out I'm a lot more tired, and I probably need to sleep more than walk 12 miles a day with all my stuff. But also, Israel has just been so tightly shut up with COVID that simply wasn't an option. Another thought we had was, hey, it'd be great to take the kids to Asia, where they were born, where they lived. But with COVID, that would involve going to having 3 2-week quarantines in 3 different countries. And that just doesn't sound like fun, watching Korean soap operas for 6 weeks. Not that I would anyway. But all that hotel time just does not sound very exciting. In addition to all the service opportunities of maybe teaching English, helping out with missionary kids at conferences, those are off the table. So I'd been struggling in my faith. Lord, you've given us this time. The board has cleared things. We've got someone we think who's coming. What are we supposed to do? And me of little faith. I'm talking to my friend, Pastor Fred from Azalea. He has come and spoke here at least once. And he and his family were missionaries in Honduras for 10 years. And he said, well, you ever thought about going there? I said, honestly, no. But things began to whirl, to kind of spin in our head. And we thought, well, this is really interesting. We realized that one of our goals for homeschooling all along had been to have the kids learn some Spanish. And I kept buying curriculum. And guess what? It kept stacking up, gathering dust. And then the idea of warm and tropical sounded to sound good. Well, it's interesting that Fred's wife that morning texted some of her friends and said, hey, where's a good place to stay? And they like 5 minutes later, they said, oh, check out these places. So I looked on the internet and I went, those are really nice. Obviously, we can't afford those. Okay, I guess it's not going to work. And then I began to do a little more research about an island that Kim and I had actually been on about 10 years ago when our cruise ship docked there. And I wrote to a couple ministries, and it was interesting. Within 14 hours overnight, I got a call from one pastor and an email from the other saying, hey, come on down. It's a great place. Well, it turns out the pastor of the International Church built the fancy condos for mission teams to come stay at. And he said, we don't have anybody coming. Here's a great deal. And we went, wow, that sounds kind of nice. But I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But back to stage one, rest and reflection, 1.5 weeks. We're going to spend our first week and a half at a place called Peace Haven, which is north of Seattle on Whidbey Island. Basically, some village missionaries a number of years ago said pastors gets wore out and they need counsel, they need a place to rest, and they built a couple beautiful houses, and we're going to be able to spend time free of charge there. We just have to get ourselves there and take some food, and we'll be able to meet with pastoral counselors and talk about the last 10 years of ministry and kind of debrief and rest. Kids will work hard at school. And then also we can say we're about ready to take off for another 2.5 months and hopefully get some things to really chew on. As some things will certainly come out. And it's like, oh, I guess we have some interpersonal things to work on. But this will be a guided time of beginning to read some books, picking people's brains, and then just pray. So pray that we can begin to unwind as we spend a week. We'll spend a couple days with my folks, and then we'll be at Peace Haven on Whidbey Island in Washington. Then we'll be flying in the middle of March to Honduras. It's a Central American country. If you read the State Department website, you go, ah, don't go there. On the mainland, there is a lot of crime. But we are going to be on an island about 35 miles off the coast called Roatan. I think Gary and Nancy have actually been there. It's about 40 miles long, 4 miles wide. It's along the second largest coral reef in the world. It is a cruise ship port, and so they typically have 1 million tourists a year, but I don't expect very many this year. There's about 80,000 folks to live on the island. 10 to 15% are expatriates. So folks in Manitoba and even around here have said, we're tired of the cold, we're gonna go live where it's warm. Average temperature is 80 degrees, and they speak Spanish and a lot of English. And again, Kim and I were actually there 11, 12 years ago. We got off the cruise ship, we rented a taxi, said, take us to a good snorkeling place, and we found a couple. So one thing you say, well, that sounds pretty good. You know, the pastor gets to go live on a tropical island. But, you know, it would be really hard to have a sabbatical when you live right 6 inches away. Since we live here, we have to go somewhere. And truth be told, the airfare to Central America is about the same as if we flew somewhere in the States. And the condo is going to cost less than what we'd pay if we were staying in Talon or Phoenix. So what would you choose? You know? Well, stage two is going to be the refreshing and reconnecting with family and friends. It's still a work in progress, but we're looking at maybe spending a couple weeks on a neighboring island that's actually known as one of the cheapest places in the world to scuba dive. Kim has scuba dived, but we never have. And there's about 80 scuba sites surrounding this 6 by 2 mile island. So plenty of places to snorkel too. So that'll be our vacation time where we play and we see the sights, we lay on the beach. Hopefully I don't get too sunburned. But I'd ask that you'd pray that we'd really have fun as a family as we do something new. And then stage three, we see it as really reconnecting with God and retooling and refocusing. And that's for 2 months. We'll go back from the small island to Roatan. And we rented a condo there. And we'll be there for 2 months. And among other things, we found out that it has whole water filtration system because the water can be bad. It provides electricity and it's a little off the beaten path and you can advance the slide. And so it's a couple miles from the ocean. But the nice thing is about having a contact there is he can tell us a reliable taxi driver that we always call. We also hope actually to hire a cook. They'll provide, and that way Kim can relax as well. And it won't cost that much. You know, there's an international church, and just a couple miles away, there's also a Calvary Chapel, which is in English and Spanish. And so we hope to kind of bounce between churches. The goal is to rest, not get too involved with other stuff. But especially as I begin to have more energy, we hope to maybe visit the orphanages, be involved in the dump ministry. Maybe the kids were tutor some English. There's really as many opportunities as we'd ever want. Our hope and prayer is that God will lead us to not run ahead of him, but in due time. Probably what it looks like is the kids will homeschool and I will do a lot of my study and memory and meditation on God's word in the morning. And then in the afternoon, we'll have some more relaxed time. My suitcase will be heavy with books and journals. I plan to spend a lot of time really looking at everything I do in ministry here. You know, what's good? What needs to change? How should I do life differently when I come back? You know, many things will continue, but some things will change. And we also hope to hire a Spanish tutor, so we'll spend a little bit of time doing that each day, perhaps. Our whole family started kind of a crash course on Spanish a couple weeks ago. And boy, that's had us busy. But something we'd like to do is every day go swim at the condo. There's a mile-long walk through the jungle we can take. Have physical restoration and rest. But really, that will be the time we really focus on being with God. Chilling with Jesus. Getting to know him better. And that's the number one reason we're going, a spiritual renewal. Stage four, we'll return. It's interesting. We'll be home about 10 days. And then we head back to Cannon Beach for our annual Village Missions retreat. That was the one thing VM said. Yes, you can go, but make sure you're back in time for conference. Well, we know that as we're gone, that you'll be changing as well. Things will be done a little different around here. Some of you will try new ministries and get excited about them, want to continue to do them. Some of you may be tired because you did more while I was gone. We also know that we will change to some degree. And I'm hoping that we have some really good conversations. Our hope is to have some get-together desserts or caught-up dinners so we can hear more what God has done in your life as well as you can hear what he's done in us. So pray the church will grow and pray that for that process as we come back. But the big question is, who is going to cover for us? Well, it's interesting. The first village missionaries to Trail Creek, Rick and Georgie Bauer, they served here from 1973 to 1974. They brought their three kids. And incidentally, when I was in high school and college, they served at the church I went to. So I've known them for, oh goodness, 35 years. And Lorraine's known them for almost 50. Pretty wild. They served as district representatives for quite a while. They're going to bring their pooch, and I hope he gets along with our cats. Otherwise, our cats are going to have to enjoy outside a lot more. But they're going to arrive just a few days after we leave, and then they have an appointment, so they'll leave just before we get back. But in the meantime, we'll be talking on the phone to get them up to speed, and then I hope to brief a lot with them when they get back. But it's amazing. They were here 49 years ago. Their three kids are now grown, and they actually live next door. Many of you know Ron and Nadine Welch, the former pastor who was here. They live next door to them in Dallas, Oregon. Let me tell you, you'll be in good hands. They'll preach the word, and they will love you well. I want to encourage you to get to know them, encourage them, learn from them. Since retiring as district representatives, similar to what Mark and Bonnie do with visiting 30 churches or whatever, they have done associate work quite a bit where they step in, maybe it be for a year, maybe it be for 6 months, or here for like 3 months. I want to encourage you to say, if you feel like sending us a little email saying, praying for you, miss you, that's cool. But when it comes to ministry needs or needing someone to a shoulder to cry on, Dick and Georgie, or Rick and Georgie, will be wonderful. They're the ones that you can call. Plus, we've got a great board you can look to. They'll be there for you then, and then we'll be back soon. A big question you might have is, what's it going to cost? How is this all being paid for? Well, it is a paid leave of absence, so the church is continuing to pay our salary and our insurance. One really cool thing, though, is we saved our stimulus checks, and so Uncle Sam is more than paying for the rest. Now, one thing with Village Missions is they ask that the church give $1,000 a month to the associate. They'll live in our house. They'll eat out of our freezer. They'll hang out with you. Hopefully, you feed them, too. But basically, there's a $3,000 cost. And how that's being provided for is last year's budget here at the church was $1,500 towards the sabbatical, and the Lord brought that in. And then I have a monthly budget where I go out to eat, I buy books, I buy materials, I connect with you, I have mileage. And so 3 months of that, $1,500 will go to pay for $1,500 from last year, $1,500 of my expenses from this year equals to $3,000. So really, we're able to take the sabbatical and the cost of the church is $1,500. That's really not a whole lot. And then with what Uncle Sam provided, that's really a blessing. Well, what about the rest thing? I want to leave you with a couple verses. You know, I've thought about those a lot, and I know some of you are facing hard things. Life has not been easy lately. And I hope that these verses will encourage your heart as well. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. For his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Whatever you are facing and what we are facing, place your life in Jesus' hands. Another passage is Mark 6. The disciples and Jesus had had a very busy time of ministry. And then Jesus said, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. And then John 15:5 as well. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he'll bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. That's our hope, that we can connect with Jesus. We pray that you will continue to do so. Thank you for your investment in our ministry. You know, I think there's also going to be a blessing for the congregation. Your leadership should come back, Lord willing, renewed. You won't get a new pastor, but one who's had the time to think and be with God. You know, I think Pastor Rick and Georgie will really have a good perspective. People who have been in ministry more than 50 years, who can kind of take a look and say, hey, I see this is really good, and maybe you need to shore this up, and they're going to do so in a gentle way. They may have some wonderful ideas for the church. It's also going to be an opportunity for you to try new things. Maybe you've never made coffee before. You can learn how. It's really not that hard. Maybe you've never led a little study. Jump right in. And these are things that you can do to help. Because remember, the church is more than just us four. It's really the whole body of Christ. You are as important to the body as we are. I want to ask you all to ask God, what role should I play, especially during the sabbatical? God's given you spiritual gifts and abilities. Some of you are wonderful with a hammer. Some of you are great with a computer. Some of you are just gifted in so many other ways. Ask God how he'd have you to serve while we're gone, as well as when we come back. Let me encourage you, too, to lean in and not out. Don't just say, oh, pastor's on a break. I'm going to lean back and just chill, too. Please don't do that. But just say, God, put me in the game. And I also want to encourage you to come alongside Rick and Georgie. They love God. They'll love you. They're not your hired hands. They're not just your gophers. They're coming alongside to serve and encourage, to help you do the work of the ministry. And would you please pray for us, that we would get rest and be renewed and refreshed so we can come and serve with you well. You know, I'm sure many of you have more questions, and we would love, in fact, we'd hope to connect with all the small groups and just have more question and answer times. This is kind of a new thing. I've never done anything like this, and we still have things to learn, and you will as well. Let me close our time in prayer. I hope it gives you a little feel for what God has in store. Lord Jesus, thank you that for all of us, we need rest, and we can come to you. I thank you, Lord, you say to come away with you. I pray that each of us would be doing so each day, that we'd be renewed and refreshed by your word. Thank you for this church, Lord, who is so kind to care for my family and I. And Lord, help us to love on them well in addition. We thank you for this opportunity and what you're going to do. God, you have good in store for your children. And so we believe that and look forward to it. Guide the church as we prepare to leave in 6.5 weeks. And Lord, just be present as we seek this new chapter. We thank you for all you've done. And it's in your good name I pray. Amen.